Go beyond the superficial. Go beyond the noise. And Hype delivers business knowledge gained from developing and manufacturing hundreds of products, working with high-growth entrepreneurs from all over the world. Focus, skills, and passion into innovative ideas. Take control. Transform product ideas into business realities. This is End Hype.
Transform product ideas into business reality. My name is Callie Keene, and this is End Hype. All right, I got a character for you today. A lot of people are asking me questions that I am unqualified to answer. So I brought on a friend of a friend, somebody that's in my peripheral circle, just like you. I'm meeting him for the first time. What's up, Weston?
Allie, how are you? Good to come on. Thank you for the opportunity to come on and speak and deliver a little bit of value to your listeners.
Yeah, I appreciate it. What's the story of Weston? Can you catch us up maybe half speed? I expect to get full speed here because you're into a lot of different things.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 38 years old. I currently reside in Utah. This is state number 6 for me. I am a Midwest boy, born and raised, left there a long time ago. And I'm an entrepreneur, have been for quite a few years now. I own and operate Anyone CBD. I'm one of the co-founders and the CEO there. I am a cannabis farmer and consultant. I've been in the cannabis industry for almost 2 decades. My kind of side thing, you and I will definitely talk about this, is wildfire. I am a pretty well-known reticulated python in the U.S. And I also am the CEO of my family's structural steel fabrication business, which is based in Northwest Ohio. So that's a very high level of how I fill my time.
There you go. We might have to bring you back on to talk about family business and getting into construction and manufacturing, because that's my little background there is my family business. We've been in manufacturing for about 60 years. I just retired my parents.
We have that in common. I actually helped my father retire at the end of last year. We sold our general construction business, and then I stepped in to run the rest of the family companies at the beginning of the year.
That's so for people that maybe are unfamiliar with family businesses, that's like the get, right? That's the big milestone. That's the expectation. It's why you get underpaid and do too much and go through all the arguments. And that's the goal, right? Is you retire these people, you build a family legacy, and that's what it is, a different beast. So I'd like to get into that, but that's a long conversation. You just opened up a whole can of worms. I didn't even know about that. So look, here's the thing. So I'm scrolling through Instagram. I don't really participate in Instagram too much anymore. It's kind of a weird platform, but I do follow people that are in our circle. And I saw a picture of you like doing one of those kind of rap gangster squats in front of some massive trash bags, right in the back of a U-Haul or tractor trailer filled up with some cannabis.
Yes.
You don't know, at least once a month, if not once a week, somebody asks me, how can they get started in the CBD business? And I think, man, I got to bring more people on to answer this question because I'm not qualified in any way. And that's what I tell people is if I can't answer the question, I'm going to find somebody who can answer your question.
Absolutely.
You've been in this for a while. So you're not like some Johnny come lately coming in and be like, I want to sell some legal weed, bro. But tell me a little bit about how this all panned.
I'm not that at all. And it's interesting because my outward appearance would not generally lend itself to the fact that I've been growing or cultivating or farming cannabis, however you want to put it, for over a decade. And yeah, my involvement with cannabis has been since my early teens. I feel like people in their teenage years, when they start experimenting with certain things, they'll find that one thing for them, or they won't find anything at all. And either way is totally fine. For me, it was cannabis. I fell in love with it at a very early age. My senior thesis paper was why marijuana should be legal. I actually still have that paper. So I got into the industry well before it was an industry, really. And I've been involved in all aspects of it. It's not a brag. It's just a simple fact. I have, by definition, I have trafficked it. I've smuggled it. I've grown it. I've sold it. I've done all of that. And I moved to Colorado in early 2013, shortly after Colorado passed recreational legislation, and got into the industry on, as we now refer to it, the white market. Got out of what we, as those of us who've been in a long time, got out of the legacy market, got into the white market, and ran a very successful medical cultivation operation in Colorado for almost 8 years until I had a large run-in with the federal government. And we can absolutely dive into this as much as you want to, but something that I think is super pertinent for anyone to know that's considering getting into the cannabis industry, at least from a medical or recreational standpoint, is that it is still federally illegal. And federal law trumps state law. Doesn't matter that what you're doing in a state is legal by that state definition. The feds can still come in and cause you, they can wreck your life. I'll put it that way. They can wreck your life. And that happened to me. That happened in 2018. It's part of the reason why I pivoted into hemp and into CBD ultimately, because it is federally legal. The feds cannot do anything to you in terms of the hemp industry or in terms of CBD, because it's all, as long as it's in accordance with the 2018 Farm Bill, it's all legal at a federal level. But what questions do you have about hemp, about CBD, about it?
That's super interesting. So for the people that aren't really dialed into this market, what is the legal difference and definition between the CBD product? Because you're selling pre-rolls, you're selling some products that to the uneducated, that looks like straight up what you would have bought 20 years ago or 10 years ago.
It does. So the number one difference between what I do now and what I did previously is that all the cannabis I grow is under the federal threshold of 0.3% THC. So there is less than 0.3% THC in everything that we grow, in all of the products that we sell. And so what does that mean? It means you won't get high. Our products are not psychoactive. So some of our products are actually zero THC, and those are some of our edible products, consumables, because we literally use a form of CBD that has all of the THC pulled out of it. You mentioned our pre-rolls, which are a really interesting thing, because exactly that. People are like, wait, you're smoking cannabis?
Yeah,
but you're not getting high. No. And that's a hard thing for people to wrap their head around. But again, it is under the federal threshold of 0.3% THC. And that is what makes it federally legal. Although I will put out the caveat, there are certain states that have regulations or laws against smokable cannabis still, or cannabis flower, even if it's under 0.3% THC. So before you go buy anything, my advice is always check your local and state laws.
When I see people working, particularly this market, but there's certain other trending markets, my big thought is, how do you stand out? Because there's so many people that want to get into this. I don't think it's as bad as like selling t-shirts, which is probably the ultimate just competitive nightmare. And I always find that fascinating. People always have great stories. This is what we did. This is how we stood out. This is how we pulled it through and turned it into an apparel brand. But I think of that the same way when I look at supplements, nutraceuticals, that you could almost get into right now, private label, white label, or anything that's super popular like CBD, because the market's red hot. Everybody knows what it is. They've been sold this dream that it's like the, whatever they call the green gold rush, or it is a new gold rush. So
yep.
How do you, in a saturated or very competitive market, because I don't think it's really, there's another 100 million people that can be using your product, right?
Yeah.
How do you stand out?
So it's a really interesting question. And the first thing I will say is when people ask me about CBD and why did I get into it now? Because historically, this is my first forte into a retail brand. I've never been on the retail side of things. I have always just been a cannabis cultivator or farmer, and I operated exclusively in the wholesale market. I grew the plants. I harvested the plants. Here's the product. You go do whatever you want with it. Create whatever products and branding. I don't need to do any of that. And that was still my game plan, even with hemp. The problem is, there's a host of problems. One of the main problems, and you mentioned it already, the majority of CBD companies on the market are strictly a white label company. That's all they are. They don't do any of their own product development, creation. There are a multitude of companies out there whose sole business is the creation of CBD products for white labeling. That's literally their entire business model. And what goes with that is that there are a lot of companies, actually the majority of CBD companies on the market, they could not tell you where the plants were grown that created their products. And what most people don't realize is that the number one producer of hemp in the world is China. China's still the number one producer of hemp in the world. And so the majority of CBD products on the market originate, that they stem from plants that were grown in China. And that's why, and something that we've encountered already, even just in several months that we've been in business, people come to us and they're like, I've tried a dozen different CBD products. Why do yours work so much better than any other products that I've tried? And there's a host of reasons, a host of answers to that. One of the main ones is this. China does not allow the growth of feminized hemp. So in cannabis, there are two sexes of the plant. There are in pretty much every species on the planet, right? There's two sexes. There's males and there's females. Traditionally, when people talked about industrial hemp, they were referring to male cannabis plants, which are nothing but a big stem, some leaves, and some seeds. It does, like it, when people talk about ditchweed, that's what they're talking about. They're literally talking about male cannabis plants that will grow anyway. They almost look like bamboo with leaves on them, versus female cannabis plants, which when people think about a cannabis plant, they think about the female plant, the big buds and the colors and all of that. That is a female cannabis plant. And that is not what is grown in China. What is grown in China is industrial hemp. It is male cannabis plants. And is there medical, are there compounds within male cannabis plants that are beneficial? Yes, very low amounts. Why? Because there's not that much in the leaves or the stem. The real power, the real compounds are in the flower, as we call them, the buds, as it were. And you only find those on a female cannabis plant. And when you're taking a CBD product, if that CBD product was derived from a male cannabis plant or a group of male cannabis plants, the quality of the compounds and the efficacy of the compounds found from male cannabis plants is very low. And so if the product you're taking was derived from male cannabis plants, you're really just taking a placebo almost. I'm just going to say that. It's just, there's not that much quality of ingredients in it. And anything else, quality in, quality out. What we do at Anyone CBD is not only do we grow our own plants, my co-founder is also a legacy cannabis farmer. He's actually one of the few guys I know in the industry that has more experience than me. And he owns a firm in Oregon that is exclusively dedicated to creating feminized hemp genetics. He's been in hemp since 2016. He pivoted out of medical cannabis as well. And so we are one of the only companies in the CBD space that is a true seed to sale company. We don't just grow our own plants. We create our own genetics. And then from those genetics, grow our own plants, harvest our own plants, process our own plants. The only part of our process that we don't do ourselves is the physical creation of our consumables. So our gummies and our tinctures, we send our extracts to a facility to have them made, those products made for us in accordance with the recipe that we developed ourselves. Our pre-rolls are 100% in-house. We own all of the equipment to make them. They're rolled in 100% organic hemp paper. And so when you are smoking one of our pre-rolls, you are smoking entirely hemp. The whole thing, the filter, the paper, everything is hemp. And again, we do that all in-house. So that for us is the biggest differentiator in the market and what we're communicating to our customers and potential customers, because very few companies can say that.
I love this. So there's a lot of valuable lessons that people can pull out of this story that you're sharing. One, I like this overarching theme because I'm getting a hint of Made in America, which it's a big theme for me as a manufacturer, as somebody that, because of the projects that I do, I'm a big proponent of Made in America because, hey, I'm one of those people that's trying to make stuff for you.
Yeah.
But that can play on for a certain group of people that actually care. And when we talk about quality is baked into a product, so it's hard to differentiate on quality initially. It's very easy to keep customers based on quality. That's why people love it. They stick with it. They become loyal fans. That's how they share it. you have to have quality to grow a company, but to start a company, a lot of people don't start with this.
And I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. That was, for me, one of the biggest things when we were creating our consumables was not only the ingredients that went into them. So like, for instance, with our gummies, we use no artificial sweeteners, no artificial colors. Everything in them is natural. Our tinctures are literally nothing but CBD hemp extract and MCT oil. Like we put a major emphasis on the quality so that we could stand behind it because we take our products ourselves. All of us that are part of anyone's CBD, we use CBD in our daily lives. And that was part of the reason why we created the company, because we really, it was difficult to find a company that consistently put out the same quality of product that we could rely on ourselves. And that was one of the biggest reasons why anyone's CBD was born.
I want everybody that's listening to this to stop it and rewind, not just that piece, but the other piece that Weston said, because you can tell he's very good at communicating that story, the why of it, the how of it, that whole seed to sale. Those things don't happen accidentally. You've clearly communicated this well to other people to be able to build relationships and build trust in the market. So when people are trying to differentiate themselves, this is what I see, is that they just say like, our stuff's good, or hey, it's really cool. Here's a picture of a girl's butt. And that you get the consumption, like I'm scrolling, I stop the scroll, and then I keep scrolling, right? But the way that you told the story, you put yourself in the story, and then you place your product like as the resolution of that story and why it's different. That's really cool. So I want people to understand that's how you pitch the story of your product, right? Instead of just saying our product is the best. I guarantee that I could have 100 people on this podcast and they would all say that their product is the best.
You should truly believe that your product is the best if you're putting it out there. If you actually are doing it from the proper place, you should believe that. At the same time, I know that there are a couple other companies out there that put out a really quality product. I also am not the same as us. Simple as that.
Yeah. And at the end, you can't be afraid to enter a market because there's competition. I say competition creates the market, right? If you made something totally new, you'd have to explain it to every single person. It'd be like dialing back the clock 15, 20 years and be like, listen, just hear me out here. So you look at a market that's hot. I don't care how much competition that you perceive, there's always room to be the best or to be better or to be different, to be unique and enter that space. But yeah, competition makes the market. So to bring this full circle from the beginning, as I said, I get a lot of people like, hey, you think it would be smart to start XYZ company? It's really competitive right now. How would I get started? I have to start. That's one.
Yeah, you always have to start. And this is something for people that are interested in CBD, this is what I always put to people is why CBD? What has it done for you in your life personally? Or what is cannabis, and this goes for all of cannabis, right? What has it done for you in your life? What have you seen it do that has made an impact on you or an impact on your life? Because there are a ton of people that just want to jump into CBD or cannabis as a general business industry because it's cool, because it's a hot industry right now. And look, I'm a capitalist, right? I never discourage people from wanting to go out and create something out of nothing. It's part of the American dream. And that's great. However, if your only driver is, well, it's a cool, hot industry and I want to make money, good luck, like point blank, good luck. And this, because this industry is full of people like that. It simply is. And one of the biggest pieces that we focus on at Anyone CBD is education, because people don't know what I just said about China and how the products are made and things of that nature. People don't know. They eventually will know as the market becomes more mature and it moves through the different phases of education and other companies start to put that messaging out there. But right now, it's really just, hey, grab our product. And right now the race is, how much CBD can we put into a product, right? That's the new fad. Let's put 5,000 milligrams in one gummy. And it's sure you can do that. To what end? What's the point of doing that? And so that's the kind of thing I always tell people with CBD or cannabis. And I think it's universal across business, but especially in an industry like this, like if you don't have a why, if you don't have a true purpose that you're trying to achieve with it, I wish you the best of luck, because there's a lot of people like that that don't have.
1,000%. It's such a weird way of looking at things, because essentially a business is there to create customers and create revenue, right? So they're like, this is hot. This will make money. I'm like, all businesses make money. That's what they do. You have to do this for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, the rest of your life, what to achieve whatever kind of goal or impact or freedom or whatever the thing is that you think that you want or that you actually want or you're willing to sacrifice for. So like, why do it in something that is not of service? Something that you don't really know about or don't really, it doesn't make sense. Cause if you loved everything being perfect and clean, I've met people that have 9-figure cleaning businesses and they like it because they like working with people and they like providing what they like to a lot of people. I would hate that business. Like, I don't want that. I want to hire them. Yeah. I don't want to. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
Yeah. So it's such a weird thing, but yeah, I think you said that perfectly. I want to veer off. I want to talk about these damn snakes, man. I was pulling it up and I saw it. I saw it on your Instagram. And then, of course, if you search your name, it first return is
Wildfire. Yeah.
Wildfire. Yeah.
Yep. But yep.
Is that something that you always did?
Snakes as a kid? No. So yeah. Okay. I've been into reptiles since I was a child. As a little kid, I ran around, I would catch frogs and toads and lizards and snakes and put them in shoe boxes and keep them in my closet. Like I was super fascinated with reptiles from a very young age. My parents absolutely hated it. My dad to this day, he cannot stand snakes. Like he has a vehement dislike of them. And so I was never allowed to have one as a kid. So of course, when I got to college and I was now out on my own, it was like, oh, I can have snakes now. And I quickly filled my house in college with all kinds of reptiles, snakes and chameleons and lizards. And I went through all kinds of phases of different keeping, from very simple, harmless reptiles like ball pythons, all the way to cobras and baboon vipers, which are highly venomous snakes. And I did that for a couple of years. I've always been an animal guy, like just in general. I grew up with big dogs. I still have multiple big dogs now as well. And so in the middle towards end of college, I decided that I wanted to run basically a full-time pit bull breeding kennel. And that's what I did for almost 10 years. And when I started getting into the dogs, it became very quickly apparent that I couldn't do both the reptiles and the dogs, and I had to choose. So I chose the dogs. And I got completely out of reptiles for over a decade. When I moved to Colorado in 2013, I had always wanted a reticulated python, which, for those that don't know, a reticulated python is the longest species of snake in the world. It is not technically the largest. Anacondas are the heaviest snakes in the world, pound for pound, or pound per foot of body length, whereas reticulated pythons are the longest. Reticulated pythons are native to Southeast Asia, Indonesia, that region of the world. And I'd always wanted one. I'd always wanted an albino reticulated python. And so when I moved to Colorado and as people say, I had adult money, it was like, yeah, sure, I can get one of these. And so I got one. And I had just the one for several years. And then there was an unfortunate incident. I was out of town. My house lost power and it was wintertime and the snake passed away. And I wanted another one. And I covered all these different classified, like reptile, rediscovered almost these reptile classified boards. And I went from 0 snakes to 16 snakes and 16. And from there, it just grew. And really, it was just like a personal collection. Like I was just collecting these reticulated pythons and keeping them and caring for them. And there's something still to this day for me that is, it's funny you mentioned cleaning and Zen. Like for me, there's something kind of Zen-like about cleaning my reticulated python cages, like just going into my facility, turning some music on and just going to it and taking care of my animals. Wildfire Retics, like as a, I guess you can call it a brand, was born in 2018. When I was in the throes of my indictments with the federal government. So I was in 2018, my medical cultivation operation in Colorado was raided, shut down. And shortly after that, I was brought up on 7 felony charges. I was part of a huge RICO case. And I genuinely didn't know what my future looked. I didn't know if I was going to go to prison for a long time. It just, there was nothing that was clear in my life. And I already had a pretty good like physical care routine in the gym and things of that nature and trying to keep my mind sharp. But the stress and just the weight of my reality at that point was really overwhelming. And I needed an outlet. I needed something to just get my mind completely out of everything that was going on around me. And my facility that I had, this 5,400 square foot facility in Colorado that was now rendered useless. It was no longer a grow facility. And so I moved all of my snakes into one of my grow rooms. And it became a snake room. And Wildfire Retix really was born out of me just going in originally. And I would set up on my personal page. I would set up Facebook Live and I would just turn it on and I would start messing with the snakes on camera. And literally no one watched when I first did it because even my friends were like, what is wrong with you? Like, why are you dealing with all these snakes? And it just caught on. And I'll never forget, there was one video I was doing. I was working with a somewhat aggressive retic. Her name was Moira. She unfortunately passed away about 2 years ago. I was dealing with that retic on camera and I posted it to my page and it went viral. It hit 2 million views in 3 days and people were freaking out. And I was like, oh, there's something here. Like people are interested in this. Okay, let's keep doing this. And that is literally how Wildfire Retix was born. And it's still, for me, it's just a hobby. It's something that I enjoy. What I've found is that because it's such a, even like with your interest, like it's just not something that's very common whatsoever. It's not like you rarely run across someone that keeps and breeds reticulated pythons. And so even people that are terrified of it, like my beautiful fiance, like there's almost this slight, almost like interest, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? And so that's what Wildfire is. It's a fun thing for me. It's probably the thing I have put the most, I would say, focus and effort into in terms of social media, which a lot of people around me have been like, of all the things you picked to focus on social, why did you pick this? It's one, I can provide value and education to people because people don't know.
Like something you have true passion for. And if
I do.
You're sharing that piece. I mean, it's really, honestly, it's what social media should be for.
I agree. Yeah. And every now and then I get to entertain people with videos like the one I posted yesterday of that python just like completely launching itself at me. And so it's fun. Like I said, and I've had people ask why I don't turn it into a business or my full-time thing. And the answer is really simple. I don't want to depend on those animals to put food on my table. Straight up. It would take the fun out of it for me. Right now, it's something I get to do. Everything in life I get to do. However, that is very much something that I get to do. There's no have to it whatsoever. And that's part of where the enjoyment for me comes from.
It's super interesting. Either way, it's great content, but looking at your feed and looking at where you are online, it's like this extra piece that, you know, hey, I know this extra depth about this person there into this other thing. It's not just that one color. Like I'm just the weed guy, or I'm like just the guy that has the tattoos. That's what people try to do. They try to like brand themselves in this very simplistic manner instead of letting people in on what their relationship looks like, what their life looks like, what their passions are. And they can be a fan of you. And then tomorrow you want to go into another hot competitive market and you can take those people with you because they're just interested in what you're up to.
Yeah.
That's super. Yeah. Hey man, I appreciate your time so much. So I know that you got to get back to it. I do as well. What's the best place for people to see some of those snake pictures, but honestly, to follow and see your businesses?
So every business has its own page on all platforms. I have my own personal page. Weston Winter is my name. If you Google Weston Winter, you will find me. I am actually, and some people will call bullshit, but I am actually the only one in the world with my name. So Google me, you're going to find me. But Wildfire Retix is on every social platform. I personally am on every social platform except Twitter. I'm not on Twitter. But other than that, it's super simple. My last name looks like Wiener, but it is pronounced Wen. And yeah, that's the easiest way for people to find me. And they can pick and choose what they want to follow. They can follow anyone CBD for the CBD and cannabis content. They can follow me personally for a little mix of it all, or they can follow Wildfire for just the snake stuff.
It's amazing. Anyways, I appreciate you. And I appreciate you taking the time. Hey, everybody, I know that we covered a lot. I want you to go check the show notes. I'll put those links down. It's really easy to follow us then. My name is Callie Keene, and this has been End Hype.
Thanks, Callie.